Well, in a few hours' time, the people of Catalonia in northeastern Spain are due to vote in a referendum on independence, which the Spanish government is determined to stop. The Barcelona-based Catalan government is equally determined to push ahead with the vote, which has been deemed unconstitutional by the courts and has split the 7 million people of this economically important region.
We will not allow the breakup of Spain. If that happens, people will die. There can be no half measures.
They can't stop us. Even if they have the army, even if they have everything, they can't stop us.
Well, the chief prosecutor of Catalonia has ordered police to block polling stations, a move the Catalan Interior Minister called a huge mistake, which could lead to major unrest. There have been demonstrations, arrests of Catalan officials, and threats of strike action in the lead-up. The Basque separatist group ETA has also weighed in, supporting the vote and calling the Spanish state a prison for the people. Let's try and understand the mood as midnight approaches and what the vote might itself hold. Joining us from Barcelona is Al Jazeera journalist Tristan Redman. Good morning and welcome to Sunday Extra.
Hello, Hamish. Thank you for having me.
What is happening on the streets in the hours leading up to this?
Well, it's about just over 10 hours to go until the polls open, or until we think they're going to open, because we don't know really what's going to happen. What's happening right now is a fairly normal Saturday evening. People are out having dinner, but about 35 minutes ago, we had a refrain of people banging pots and pans out of their apartment windows, which is something that's been happening for the last 10 days here in Barcelona. It's a kind of a protest that sprung up every night at 10 o'clock. Everyone leans out their windows and bangs on pots and pans. But it's been a kind of non-stop succession of protests every single day on both sides of the argument. The pro-independence protests have been very large. The anti-independence protests have been a lot smaller, but that's partly because I think people are quite shy about expressing their opposition to independence. It's not because there aren't opponents. But it's really an extraordinary atmosphere. It's a very unusual situation to see a story like this unfolding in a European country, an EU member. We're seeing people being arrested. We're seeing ballot boxes confiscated, voting slips confiscated, websites shut down, public officials threatened with huge fines and prison terms. It's something you might expect to see in some sort of dictatorship in many ways, and not what you expect to see in Europe. It's really extraordinary.
And how have we come to this point where you have the Spanish government saying one thing, the courts saying one thing, and then the Catalan government saying and doing something entirely different?
Well, I think really you have two sides, both of which are unwilling to compromise. There's nobody mediating, and there is no desire, it seems, on either side to back down and negotiate. And really the only way out of this is to negotiate. Spain does not want to unleash the genie from the bottle of independence for Catalan, for Catalonia, for two reasons. One, it's incredibly lucrative and successful economically, part of the country. And secondly, it has several other want-away provinces. So you've got the Basque Country, you've got Galicia, to some extent, a lesser extent, Andalusia in the south. And they don't want to let Catalonia go because then it could lead to the total breakup of Spain. Not only would they lose tax receipts, but the country would just disintegrate. And the Catalonians have centuries of very proud culture, language, economic and cultural freedoms. They say that they've been waiting for a very long time for independence. They've never felt truly part of Spain. And these are the battle lines. And no one really knows what's going to happen. It's quite extraordinary. I mean, it's very rare to be on the threshold of an election and have no idea what the terrain is going to look like in 12 hours, 24 hours, let alone 48 hours. There could be violence in the streets of Barcelona. We have no idea what's going to happen.
And how much of this scenario is driven by the historic factors that you've just referred to? And how much of it is due to the sort of immediate economic circumstances in Spain? As you mentioned, Catalonia, huge contributor economically. I think 25% of Spain, all of Spain's exports come from Catalonia. 20% of foreign investment in Spain goes to Catalonia. But broadly, the Spanish economy has been in pretty dire straits for at least 5 years or so. How much does that scenario create the dynamic for a moment like this?
There's no doubt that there is an economic aspect at play here. Catalonians feel that they are funding the rest of the Spanish exchequer to some extent, and they've had enough of doing that. But if you ask a Catalonian in the street who's in favor of independence why they want it, that's not the first thing they say. They will tell you that it's because of their proud history and traditions, and they're very emotional about it. But there's also a darker, more recent history that goes back to the days of the Spanish Civil War and Franco. And Catalonia was particularly repressed under Franco. And I think all of these factors together are important, but it's the cultural, linguistic factors that they're more important than the economic to your average Catalonian, I would say.
You mentioned websites being shut down. I read overnight that Google had prevented an app from being downloaded that was pointing people to polling stations. What sort of steps are being taken, physical steps as well, to prevent this thing from happening today?
Well, I mean, we've heard reports of police entering the offices of Google and police entering the offices of Catalan telecommunications companies to actually physically shut down servers and take websites offline. But then you've got police trying to seal off schools, which are being used as polling stations to stop voters from occupying them to allow the vote to go ahead. You've got ministers who've been arrested. You've got ballot papers which have been seized. The actual organization, the physical organization of the election is happening underground. Nobody knows where these ballot papers have been printed. Nobody knows where they're coming from. No one knows where the count is going to take place. It's this sort of cat and mouse game between the police. And when I mentioned the police, there's another factor in this whole thing, which is absolutely key, which is that the Catalans have their own police. They're called the Mossos d'Esquadra, and they answer to the Catalan government. And then you have the national police, who are sort of paramilitary force called the Guardia Civil, who've been shipped in. Up to 10,000 of them have been shipped in from elsewhere in Spain. They're staying in car ferries outside of the town in the port, and they are sitting there waiting to be moved in because the Mossos d'Esquadra have been ordered to clamp down on the election. Nobody knows if they will follow those orders because their loyalties lie to the Catalan government. If they don't clamp down on the election, nobody knows whether the Guardia Civil will move in. And if they do move in, what will they do and how will the people react? So this whole police dynamic is absolutely key in the whole thing. And nobody knows how the different police forces are going to react and how the people on the street will react when they do. So it's quite extraordinary.
It sounds from your description like the likelihood of this getting quite messy is high.
That's what everyone is fearing. But the Catalan president, Carles Puigdemont, told our channel Al Jazeera today that the Catalans are a peaceful people. The police have to respect their peaceful protests, and they should do nothing to provoke and escalate the situation. Now, there has been no sign of any violence so far. All the protests we've been to have been very peaceful. But with this impasse and this cliff edge that we're staring off tomorrow with this election, it's very difficult to see which way it goes. Carles Puigdemont, the president, has said that if independence wins the referendum, he will unilaterally declare independence tomorrow night. And nobody is suggesting that independence is that the yes vote is not going to take it, because most of the no voters are going to stay away. So we're very, very likely about this time tomorrow to have the Catalonian president declaring independence from Spain. But then what happens? Nobody knows.
As you mentioned, this sort of thing we don't see very often in a European city or a European country. The EU is largely pretty sceptical of independence or separatist struggles within Europe. What is the EU view of all of this?
Well, the EU is very cagey about getting involved in this. The EU has just reiterates its policy, which is known as the Prodi Doctrine. The Prodi Doctrine says that if any country, nation breaks away from another member state, it does not retain its EU membership by default. It has to reapply, because what they're trying to do is discourage all these EU member states from disintegrating. And it, in Brussels, I think there's furious diplomacy going on, because many of the other EU member states do not want Catalonia to break free, because it would set an example for separatist regions across Europe, whether they would be in the UK, with Scotland, for example, or Italy, where you have separatist movements, or even Belgium. Even the Flemish in Belgium might be inspired by what's happening in Catalonia. So the EU has to play a very, very careful game. Now, the Catalans hope that if they were to declare independence, that the EU would accept them with open arms. And they are that what they are saying right now is just simply bluster, and that they are too wealthy and too important to be ignored. Now, nobody really knows what's going to happen. The EU is under intense pressure here, but they're not revealing their hand whatsoever.
And does the position that the Spanish government is taking, that European officials are taking, actually drive some of the independence-focused sentiment in Catalonia, as far as you can see?
I think so, definitely, yes. I think the feeling that they are marginalized and ignored, both in Madrid and in Brussels, is a source of intense frustration and fuels that deep sense of Catalan pride which exists. I have no doubt that, yes, this is something which fuels that.
And obviously, for the football fans out there, implications for FC Barcelona, I'm told.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the fate of FC Barcelona, which is a huge symbol in Catalonia, is almost sort of a metaphor for the rest of the country, because the Spanish Liga could not do without Barcelona, because Barcelona is one of its two major clubs. So if Catalonia left Spain, they would not kick Barcelona out of the football league, surely. Now, to some extent, that's a metaphor, because if Catalonia left Spain, surely they would not kick Catalonia out of the European Union, because it's too important. But nobody knows. But it's true, the football club is key, because the slogan of the club is "Més que un club," more than a club, because it's a symbol of the Catalan nation. And in fact, Barcelona is playing tomorrow afternoon at home in Barcelona against Las Palmas. So that will be a meeting of many proud Catalan nationalists. And I hope we're going to go there and see what the atmosphere is like before the game.
Tristan Redmond, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Hamish.
Tristan Redmond is an Al Jazeera journalist there in Barcelona.